Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you.
And also with you.
Let us thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Let us offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and tell of his acts with shouts of joy. Come, worship the God who said, "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you." We will come before our God. Gather us now before you, O God, as a hen gathers her brood to protect them. Like a mother, you gather your people to you. You are gentle with us as a mother with her children. As we meet today and follow your example, protect us, support us, and feed us with your unconditional love. Amen.
And now we take a moment to say sorry to God. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life." Heavenly Father, parent of us all, we know we don't always treat each other as you want us to. Lord God, forgive us and help us to be more loving. There are times when we insist on getting our own way, despite what others feel. Lord God, forgive us and help us to be more loving. Sometimes we increase tension when we ought to seek peace, or say things which hurt one another. Lord God, forgive us and help us to be more loving. God has loved us, sending his Son Jesus to show us the true meaning of forgiveness. Lord God, forgive us and help us to be more loving. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect for the day. God of compassion, whose Son Jesus Christ, the child of Mary, shared the life of a home in Nazareth and on the cross drew the whole human family to himself, strengthen us in our daily living, that in sorrow and in joy, we may know the power of your presence to bind together and to heal, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
And our first reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "Oh, this is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we turn to our psalm now, Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain.
In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him.
Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, are children born in one's youth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. World without end. Amen. And our second reading this morning is taken from St. Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 33. The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's not often that I have the chance to preach from the Old Testament, and it's not often that we have, as part of our lectionary readings, Old Testament stories like the one we have today. It's so easy to let these stories become the preserve of holiday clubs and open the book assemblies, something for the children, but not for us grown-ups. And it's not often that we have a passage from the Bible which focuses on the role of women, which is entirely appropriate on Mothering Sunday. The story of Exodus is a pivotal story in the Old Testament narrative. It tells of the fulfillment of God's promises to the patriarchs that he would make their descendants into a great nation. This is carried out despite the opposition of the greatest superpower in the ancient world at the time, Egypt. And God's promise is fulfilled despite the unbelief and disobedience of the people themselves. The story begins just before our reading with the role played by two midwives. The rapid increase of the number of Israelites living in Egypt alarmed the Pharaoh. Faced with the continued growth of the Israelite population, Pharaoh looked for a method of birth control. Under his orders, the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, were to kill all newborn boys. The fact that the writer of Exodus tells us the names of the midwives indicates their importance. He doesn't even name Pharaoh. However, Puah and Shiphrah, whose names mean beauty and splendor, are members of a long line of Israelite women who outwit a usually male foreign oppressor. They may have feared Pharaoh, but they feared God more and disobeyed Pharaoh's command. They let the Hebrew boys live. Despite years of oppression and enslavement, and long before there was any inkling of God's call on Moses, in fact, when everything looked bleak, those two midwives remained faithful to God. I am often struck by the stories of those who remain faithful to God in the midst of persecution, fear, and oppression. I am aware that so much of my life has been lived against the background of comfort and ease. I long to be faithful despite my circumstances, just like those midwives. By the time we get to chapter 2, the writer focuses on a specific family. The man and woman are not named in verse 1, But we know from later verses that they are called Amram and Jochebed. They already have a daughter, Miriam, and a son, Aaron. By the time their third child, Moses, was born, their joy of a new birth would have been marred by the devastating cruelty of Pharaoh's edict that every baby boy must be thrown into the river Nile. For Jochebed, and no doubt many other mothers, that was unthinkable. And so she chose to protect her son. She hid him for 3 months. How did she do that? How did she get away with it? We don't know. But in the end, Jochebed came to realize that she needed to do something else. She had protected her son, and now she had to let him go and trust him to God. You know the story. Jochebed makes a basket of papyrus reeds covered in pitch and puts her baby in it before hiding the basket among the reeds in the river Nile. What a risk. The Nile is a fast-flowing river infested with crocodiles and other wild animals, but she was prepared to take that risk to protect her son. She had to let him go and trust. I think it is probably one of the hardest things I have had to do as a parent, let my children go and entrust them to God. It really hurts. It's not abandoning them, although it might feel like it. It is like the father with his prodigal son who let him go and then never gave up hope that he would come back. It's interesting that the Hebrew word for the papyrus basket is Tabar. It's only used twice in the Old Testament, and it is the same word used to describe Noah's Ark in Genesis. Just as the ark would protect Noah and his family from the waters of the flood, so this basket would protect Moses from the deadly waters of the Nile. Faithful midwives, a protective mother, and now a compassionate princess enters the scene. She spots the basket, and when she sees the baby, she has compassion for him. She knows that he is a Hebrew, and therefore she knows the fate before him. Her compassion is in sharp contrast with the ruthlessness of her father, and she takes the baby to be her own, adopted into her family. And all of this takes place under the eye of Moses' watchful sister, Miriam. Miriam had been watching from the riverbank, and she offers to get a Hebrew woman to nurse the child. And so the baby is returned to Jochebed to be nursed. And even better, she is paid to do so. What a story. Faithful midwives, a protective mother, a compassionate princess, and a watchful sister. They are all brave, courageous, faithful women who, unbeknown to them, play a key part in God's plan to deliver his people from slavery to freedom in the promised land. And today we remember and say thank you to women, mothers, grandmothers, aunties, carers, who have played a part in our lives, who have protected us and loved us, watched over us, and stood by us. Of course, those characteristics are also the characteristics of God, who is like a mother to us, who remains faithful, who protects us, who watches over us, and loves us. Amen.
We're going to declare our faith in God together. And so we say, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And let's pray together. As today we thank God for the gift of mothers and mothering across the world. Isaiah wrote that God is as a mother to us, comforting and carrying us in her arms. As one whom a mother comforts, so I will comfort you, says the Lord. Gentle, patient God, thank you for your tender care. Isaiah also wrote that God will never forget us, and that he knows each one of us just as a mother knows her own children. Can a woman forget the baby at her breast, or feel no pity for the child she has borne? Even if these were to forget, I shall not forget you. Gentle, patient God, thank you for your tender care. David wrote that in God's presence he was quiet and at peace, trusting his God like a child safe in its mother's arms. I hold myself in quiet and silence, like a child in its mother's arms. Gentle, patient God, thank you for your tender care. Jesus spoke of himself as a mother longing to wrap his arms around us like a mother hen gathering her chicks under her wings. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Gentle, patient God, thank you for your tender care. And let us pray to the Lord for people whose lives have been turned upside down as a result of conflict at home, in the community, between neighbours and nations. For people whose lives could have been very different had they grown up knowing love and compassion, knowing boundaries and respect. For people who have been traumatized by sudden change, who have lost those close to them through illness or accident, and for those affected by natural or avoidable disaster. We pray for those who are unwell, remembering especially Pam, Jacques and Jen, Catherine, Brian and David, Jennifer, Mavis, Vera and Stephen, Steve, Adrian, Jean, Jane, Olwyn, Alan, Rosemary, Ryan, Andrew and Margaret, and others known to us. And we give thanks for the lives of those who have recently died, and we pray for their families and friends. We give thanks for the lives of Mary Walker, Mary Westmacott, Michael Lane, Arthur Wilson, Mary Mayers, Ola, and others who we remember with love and thanksgiving. We pray for people who find it hard to make changes in their own lives through fear of stepping out into the unknown or fear of going within and confronting the past. For people who seek the courage to make a difference in the world. For those who challenge structures and systems to work for the greater good, and for those working alongside people in need. Amen. And as God's children and heirs with Christ, we cry in the Spirit, Abba, Father. saying together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let us give thanks to God.
Let us give thanks to God.
For all the good things we enjoy.
Let us give thanks to God.
For friends and those who love us.
Let us give thanks to God.
For those who care for us and look after us.
Let us give thanks to God.
For the things we learn and for those who teach us.
Let us give thanks to God.
For food and homes and games and toys.
Let us give thanks to God.
For all these things, we give you thanks.
We give thanks to God.
Amen. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Christ so loved the world that he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit so loves the world that he sends us out in love and to be loved. And may God, who gave birth to all creation, bless us. May God, who became incarnate by an earthly mother, bless us. May God, who broods as a mother over her children, bless us. May Almighty God bless us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Before we leave, I have an announcement to make. The Bishop of Crediton and parish representatives are delighted to announce that, subject to the completion of the statutory formularies, an offer of the post of Associate Priest, Team Vicar Designate, in the emerging Crediton Ministry Hub has been made to the Reverend Robert Gordon, who is currently Rector of St. Peter Tiverton and Chevythorne with Cove, and priest in charge of St. Andrew in this diocese, and that offer has been accepted. His licensing by the Bishop of Crediton will take place at a venue to be advised on July the 14th, which is a Wednesday.
I should say something, shouldn't I? Yes, after 15 years at St. Peter's and Chevythorne, and nearly 10 at St. Andrew's, the time has come for me to move on. Not because I've fallen out of love with this place or its people. On the contrary, I feel more settled here now than at virtually any time in the past 15 years. The reason is much bigger than that. It has to do with what I believe God is asking of me. The simple truth is that I have a strong sense, a very strong sense, of God's calling to do a new thing, specifically to be part of the creation of a new way of being church in the rural heartlands of Mid-Devon. None of this affects Steph. She will continue as the rector of the Ex-Valley, and although I will have a working base in the rectory at Mortchett Bishop, we will continue to live at Withley. Meanwhile, I am still with you until June, and as we emerge from lockdown, I think you are in a strong place to go forward from here towards a new future of your own. And I will work with you to ensure, as far as possible, that everything you need is in place before I go. I know some of you will want to ring me up and have a chat about all of this, and I will be glad to speak to you, but I'd be grateful if we could leave it for a day or two. This is all very new at the moment, for me as well as for you, and we probably all need a bit of space to get used to the idea. I could say more, but I think I'll probably leave it there for now. And just to say that I will value your prayers for me as I will continue to pray for you. What we do, we don't do alone. but with one another and with our loving God, who goes before us to guard us and guide us in his way. God bless us all in everything we do for him. Thank you.